following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstations, Doug and Daddy Show, an early edition today. We have special editions for special times. Usually they're not good times. Sometimes they are. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you today. That's what happens when you chug a whole pot before the show, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You never
right.
do that.
Yeah, that's
you
a good point.
You never do that. Water.
That's a good point.
You're learning.
Yeah, I've just been here for 2 years. I'll figure out one of these days.
Just played one of the Nebraska fight songs. Did you get one goosebump this morning?
No.
I'm a little afraid. Folks, that's what I want to ask you. We went with a different opening, different time. I just wanted to play There Is No Place Like Nebraska. Is that true? I believe it is. But how'd you feel listening to the song this morning? And I think that'll tell you how you feel about where you're at. If you're a Nebraska fan, if you just want nothing but wins and that's all you're concerned about, if you enjoy watching football, there are so many things to get to today. Mitch Sherman is going to join us. Sean Callahan is going to join us. Jared Crick's going to join us. We have other folks in the hopper. I talked with Jack Gangwish after the game in Iowa City on Friday. We'll bring you that short interview. But I will tell you, when I walked away, doing interviews in Lincoln and then doing them on the road, you see so much more on the road because, yes, in some places, just even a few years ago when we went to USC, for a matter of fact, there was really no place where you went. You kind of just stood out in the tunnel and talked to the coach in the interviews. You see now when you're watching the videos online, they've got the click it or ticket behind the coach everywhere. Well, you had that, but then you just kind of walk out in front of the locker room there, and there's people everywhere, and you grab who you grab. We talked to Sam Fultz. We talked to Jack Gangwish. We heard from all the other players like the fans wanted to listen to over the weekend. And then the questions began, Jimmy, and I told everybody that asked me, I said, I don't have a good feeling. I said, I won't agree with letting Coach Pelini go. But I don't have a good feeling. When you see players, football players, even though they're young men, when they become emotional, you know something's up. They're not emotional because they told us. I truly believe in my heart that everyone in that Nebraska locker room Friday knew that it was over, that that was the last game Bo Pelini would coach at the University of Nebraska. You can't believe everything in these press conferences. That's why I don't believe everything to the final detail from Sean Eichhorst yesterday. You don't just Saturday night come to the realization that Bo Pelini is out as your head coach. I truly believe And I asked him the question, what changed in the last month? Nebraska was 8-1, and 1 month ago was in the national talk of being a Final Four team if they run the table. At the time, we didn't know. Prognostications, everybody's, I mean, it'll start as soon as we hire the next coach. What do you think, how are we going to be next year? How are we going to, Doug, how are we going to be next year? How are we going to be next year? And I mean, Jeff, producer Jeff, could go back and pull up all the audio and make a montage of numerous shows, Jimmy. And I said the wheels could fall off at the end of the year because the last three games are going to be tough. Even if you're in a good spot by then, there was no guarantee of getting to Indianapolis. And the wheels didn't completely fall off. Minnesota was better than I thought, and Nebraska beat Iowa. Minnesota gave Wisconsin all they wanted in that contest for the West Championship on Saturday. But I guess as Nebraska fans, and we want you to be a part of the show, how do you feel about the firing of Bo Pelini? What even makes people start to discuss firing coaches that have won 70-plus percent of their games, that in football have won 9 games every year? What even brings that up? Are you mad because John Cook just lost 2 in a row? Hell, Bo Pelini only lost more than 2 in a row once. That was his first year. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can call us on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. You can, of course, email us always, the Dent Popper inbox, since it has been from day one, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And you can tweet us at ESPN1460-1550. Jimmy, you've been around a long time. I think there are some people that are covering Nebraska sports that weren't even really a big part of Nebraska. Either didn't grow up here or don't even remember 1999. They were 6, 7 years old. Dirk Chatelain's going to join us tomorrow. A lot of people have thrown him in the middle of this whole fire and have for a long, long time. We'll talk to Dirk tomorrow on the program. He is tied up during our section today. It's a busy day, as you can imagine. But just, when you heard it, your first reaction was?
Well, I guess we're going to go back to Wednesday on when I went down and watched. It was at Cunningham's. And Sepp kind of went out and said, hey, you know, if he was kind of talking, he said, hey, you know, if Nebraska beats Iowa, I don't think it's going to make any difference. It's just going to add a little wrinkle to this a little bit. It's going to make it a little more awkward. That was the first time I thought, uh-oh. Well, I mean, when he said that, because he's got a little more information than, you know, maybe the average person is going to get, more than you're going to have him sitting by the guy in row 40 at Memorial Stadium. He's got a little more insight. And when he said that, I kind of thought, whoa, this is kind of interesting. Plus, the other thing was you have an AD that was hired, and this is his second year. Everybody's a little afraid of your second-year ADs. The guy that's been here for his second year, a lot of times that's something you look at when you see it. So when you're asking me, what did I think? The second year AD situation made me think, hey, this could happen. Because very seldom you go in and take a job for 3 months and do a lot of firing. It's usually the next year when this stuff happens. But what I'm like you. One thing I look at is there were 30 sports writers that picked the Big Ten West, I'll call them, but it's not that they're called a different legendary division.
Right. No, you're right.
The west side. Now. Okay. Yeah. And the west side. And hey, you know what? Nebraska was picked third. They picked Wisconsin to win it. Iowa was supposed to get second. Nebraska was supposed to get third. You know, that's how they picked this thing. And you know what? That's about what happened. They were really close. I mean, it goes down to an overtime game to decide second and third. Northwestern, the team that finished fifth beat the team that got first. I mean, so, you know, when you look at how even these schools were and how we play, hey, Nebraska had 2 great road wins at Northwestern and at Iowa. And they lost 1 game at home, Minnesota. Everything else really came out. I mean, about what you thought. A good win against Miami of Florida, could have lost to them. You know, hey, so, you know, that, I guess that's what I look at is, man, I don't understand what. People, I guess they were just tired of winning 9 games 7 years in a row.
People, in anything you could have written or heard on the radio or saw on television over the last week, when Nebraska lost to Minnesota, I think the fire, well, you know, they lost. When they got blown out by Wisconsin, people got fired up again. This goes back to Frank Solich. This is not just Bo Pelini. Nebraska has lost games by more than three touchdowns. I don't know if you want to say quite a bit, but every year, basically, since the firing of Frank Solich. And that's what got everybody upset. People leaving, Bill Callahan, people not even staying after halftime, empty stadiums. Not really happening with Bo Pelini. The student section sometimes would take off, but not really with Bo Pelini did I see a Memorial Stadium that I saw with Bill Callahan. And here's the way I kind of feel today. I said this yesterday to a couple of folks, and I'm not comparing the coaches. I'm comparing me as somewhat of a fan, where I guess you're not supposed to say that anymore if you're a media member covering the Huskers. Well, I don't cover them every day. I don't go to practice every day. We have a radio show to talk about it every day. I'm a fan of Nebraska. I want to see them win. I want to see them win them all. I don't feel good about this. I compare this to how I felt when the Dallas Cowboys fired Tom Landry, the team that I had rooted for since I was old enough to root for an NFL team, the team I have rooted for longer than any other sports team, maybe the Royals. Those when you're first old enough to pick a team, it was always the Cowboys, and it's pretty much always been the Royals, although I like the Reds because, you know, whatever, we won't go. But my point is, they're not the same coach. It's just the way at that time. They're bringing in Jimmy Johnson, who you didn't like to begin with. Jerry Jones just seemed like a guy you didn't want to like. And it took me a couple of years to really start, and not because they went 1-15. It took me a couple of years to really start paying attention and rooting hard for the Cowboys again. And I kind of feel that way today, because no matter what happens next year, and no matter who they bring in as a head coach, well, they were either Pelini's players, or God showed you what they could do, or it won't be good. And, well, he's coaching Pelini's players. Give him 4 years. Coming up, Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald for a number of years, and now the national writer for ESPN.com. We have got a lot of time over the next couple hours. Love to hear from you. Got emails to get to. We'll take a break. Mitch Sherman next.
At New Frontier Ag, we have great inventory of late model John Deere equipment. Our equipment is purchased from local producers in southwest Nebraska and northwest Kansas, and we know how each piece of equipment was used and maintained. There are no surprises when buying from us. The new and New Frontier Ag means a new way of doing business. Not too long ago, you settled for the limited inventory that was available locally. With today's technology, it is now possible to buy that exact piece of equipment you want. Everything you need to complete your equipment purchase is available with one click of the mouse at newfrontierag.com or one phone call to New Frontier Ag at 308-340-8989.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Celebrate Christmas with Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village. Visit us from December 4th through 11th and discover the magic of Christmas. Find the entry form in the Hastings Tribune, come out and search the village for the 12 days of Christmas. Fill out the entry form, mail it in, and a sumptuous prize could be yours. So visit Hastings Village from December 4th through December 11th, fill out the entry form from the Hastings Tribune, and win a sumptuous prize. We'll see you this Christmas at Hastings Village.
Give the gift of health this holiday season with the Hastings YMCA membership gift certificate. Certificates may be purchased for any Y membership at either YMCA Welcome Center. The Hastings YMCA offers a variety of memberships to choose from, including youth, adult, couples, and family memberships, so no one is left out. For more information, contact the Y at 402-463-3139. So stop by the 16th Street YMCA to give the gift of health this year.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Good cheer, good luck, good health. May your Christmas be filled with the best of everything for you and yours, leaving season's memories to treasure. Happy holidays from RAI of Nebraska in Ravenna, Shelton, and Loup City.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mart cooler question is pretty obvious today. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the holidays, would have an unbeaten Marshall team deserve to be in the New Year's Day Bowls? Well, that didn't happen. 67-66 in double overtime. 70% of you said no, they shouldn't be in even if they are undefeated. Well, it comes down to this. Do you agree with the decision to fire Bo Pelini? Vote now, ESPNSuperstation.com. I heard a variety of polls on a variety of different sports talk shows yesterday as we were driving back from the press conference, and most of the numbers I heard was they thought they should have kept Bo, but it was close. None of them were really over 60% one way or the other. Vote now. Do you agree with the decision to fire Bo Pelini? ESPNSuperstation.com. That's your Midtown Mart of Hastings cooler question. Special Doug and Daddy show on this day where we're looking for a new football coach in Lincoln. Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com joins us here. Doug Duda, Jim Lang, and Mitch, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, doing good. I know you've got a lot of these to do, and you had your earpiece in yesterday hammering away at the computer, and folks can go to ESPN.com and read everything that you've put up there. But just as Mitch Sherman, was it the right decision?
Well, you know, I can't really separate myself from my job, so you know, after so many years, those things are pretty entwined. You know, ultimately, the time will tell us if it's the right decision. You know, my opinion is that it was. You know, I didn't have tremendously strong feelings late in this season about what needed to happen with Bo. But after hearing Sean Eichhorst's comments yesterday, it validated, I think, a lot of the thoughts that were in my head and as far as what Nebraska wanted to do from its administrative point of view with this football program. You know, I think things had in some ways gone stale with the progress that we were seeing at Nebraska. I don't think that there was a clear direction, or you know, the ship was not pointed in the right direction. At best, I think it was somewhat stagnant when you looked at the progress that Nebraska was making. And I understand that there are strong feelings on both sides of this. You know, the thing that strikes me most when I hear the criticism about firing Pelini is that people seem afraid of what might come next, afraid that, you know, be careful what you wish for argument, that you may go from 9-4 or 10-4 to 7-5. And I just don't think that's any, I don't think that's the right way for Nebraskans to view their program. I think that's that's not the kind of thinking that got Nebraska to achieve some of the greatness that it did in generations gone past. And, you know, while it's no longer the 80s or the 90s or even the 70s, I think there is still reason to believe that Nebraska can be a player nationally. And, you know, something needed to be done to jumpstart this thing. It is a risk, but I think it's a risk worth taking.
Yeah, you know, I look at this nationally. Jim Langen is here, and I look at this nationally, and I just wanted to look at this. And let's just take another school. I'm going to say Oklahoma right now. Okay, mm-hmm. Oklahoma, I look at Oklahoma and what they were picked in the top five in the nation. All right, what happened here is TCU had a pretty good year. Baylor got better. Kansas State can compete. All right, now guess who's in trouble? The Iowa State and Kansas, they're in trouble. They're going to be looking for new coaches quickly. But what about Oklahoma? It doesn't seem like they're getting excited here. Hey, this was a season. They weren't really great. Last year they beat Alabama in a bowl game, but they caught Alabama at the correct time. They haven't been really competing at this level where they're dominating a league. People are getting better, and that's what's going on in our conference too. Minnesota's going to get better. Northwestern had a chance to win a game, beat Wisconsin. There's a lot of teams that are trying to get better in the United States, and I just think people are not going to dominate the way they have. Your comments on that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're not going to find a 60-3 stretch at Nebraska anytime in the near future, or probably ever again. You know, I don't think there are a whole lot of people who are expecting Nebraska to go back to an era of greatness. And your point about Oklahoma is understood, that you know, Oklahoma is enduring some of the same struggles that Nebraska did. But, you know, you say yourself, Oklahoma beat Alabama. less than a year ago. And I mean, Alabama is the premier program in the country. And, you know, what Sean Eichhorst said yesterday about Nebraska and how it's not winning the games that matters. You can spin that Oklahoma-Alabama game any way you want. That's a huge win for the Oklahoma program and an indication to me that program is still competitive on a national level. Now you look at this year and you see what's happened in some of their defeats. That Baylor game was embarrassing, and in much the same way that some of Nebraska's losses have been over the last 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years. But it's not nearly on the same kind of consistency with the difficult defeats at Oklahoma or at other places that you've seen in Nebraska. To me, they're somewhat apples and oranges. The two situations at those schools. You know, Bob Stoops is a guy who's proven he can take teams to a championship level. And you know, at some point, if things turn stagnant or stay stagnant, if there are more years like this at Oklahoma, there will be unrest there too, and there will be people who want to see change.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When do you think the decision was actually made, Mitch?
The Wisconsin game. You know, I don't think anything that happened after that was going to save his job. Now, it would have been interesting if Nebraska had beaten Minnesota and Iowa. I mean, he would have faced, I think, a different kind of public if Nebraska was sitting here at 10-2 and aiming for an 11-win season. You know, clearly the best record that Bo Pelini had ever experienced. But from Sean Eichhorst's comments yesterday, you know, I'm led to believe that he didn't look at that Iowa game as a step for Nebraska in the right direction. You know, and, you know, I tend to agree. Going into that game, my thought was Nebraska needs to have made a decision here. You can't let this Iowa game determine the fate of the coach. He's coached 90 plus games. This one with nothing on the line as far as the division title goes, you know, can't be the one that saves his job or seals his fate. So from that standpoint, it was good to see that Eichhorst appeared to have made up his mind before that. With Minnesota, the division title was still technically winnable for Nebraska. It didn't control its own destiny, but there were still possibilities out there. And I suppose Nebraska had won the division title after that loss to Wisconsin. There's no way that he would have been able to make this decision. But by and large, I think the decision was made on November 15th or shortly thereafter.
This question comes up from time to time, the national perspective, Mitch. What are you hearing from your national colleagues, and how will that affect who Nebraska hires next? Because I kind of believe that Sean Eichhorst knows who the next coach is already.
Yeah, that's my opinion, and I think it's one that is shared by. I haven't heard anybody yet who disagrees with that. Now, you know, his search could go off course. We've seen that happen before. I don't expect that. Sean is a calculating type of guy. That's one thing we do know about him. I think every step in this process, it's something that he's given careful consideration to, including exactly how it went down yesterday. So I would be surprised if he gets left out in the cold by his candidate. But strange things can happen. You know, guys can get cold feet. You can't completely secure your coach, or it's very difficult to, before you make the move to fire the sitting guy. I think he probably still has some work to do to make this a reality. But I would agree that I think most people nationally look at this from that same point of view, that he has his eye on somebody. And it's going to be an upset if he doesn't get the person that he's zeroing in on. Who that is, there's a lot of speculation, and that's all it is. From what I can tell at this point is speculation. You know, we've got different names on our website, and it's easy to find out the names that are being floated out there. But I haven't heard anything concrete yet as far as knowing that Nebraska has contacted a specific guy or there is a coach out there who has legitimate interest in the job. I would say within the next 48 to 72 hours, we're going to get more confirmation along those lines, and the search could be one that lasts a week to 10 days.
Just to speculate a little bit, my next question to you is the sideline demeanor of the Huskers for the last 7 years on the sideline. You know, we've had coaches where people were upset at Tom Osborne because he wasn't more emotional. We've had other coaches. I thought Callahan really kept his composure on the sideline. Things went nasty, but he never got in the face of his assistant coaches, even though, you know, I mean, he'd given up 55 points on defense. You know, he's just still handling the demeanor of the Nebraska sideline. And then also maybe us always seeming to get about three or four more penalties in our opposition in a game. Those things, what do you think? Did that play into this a little bit?
I think Sean Eichhorst, in knowing, you know, we're learning more about him, of course, as his tenure goes on in Nebraska. And yesterday was a big step in learning about him. You know, and I think he's a guy who believes that a leader shapes the actions of his team, you know, or you know, of his people, whether it's Eichhorst in his position or a guy like Bo Pelini. I feel like Sean Eichhorst thinks that and works under the premise that the Nebraska football team is going to be a reflection of its head coach. And I think, you know, while it was not by any means the determining factor in his decision to fire Bo Pelini, I think it all matters. And if you see what you might believe to be undisciplined football, I think Sean Eichhorst probably believes that some of that is related to that Bo Pelini goes about his business during games. Again, to me, it's not a big thing. Maybe it's a bigger thing to Sean Eichhorst. You know, I think you have to let a coach express his personality, and that's really all Bo was doing most of the time. You know, he was just coaching. He was being himself, and you know, maybe that shed some light on the you know, just the gap between those two men. You know, how they were probably never going to see eye to eye on certain things. You know, this isn't probably the coach that Sean Eichhorst would have chosen to hire if he was in the position to make this decision 7 years ago. Their personalities in some ways and just the styles in which they go about things seem to be about as different as you can get for two guys who are put in the position to work together.
Last minute with Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, so he can get back to his day here. The things that will be missed is Bo TV and Angry Bo and Fake Bo Pelini on Twitter. People are already sad about the demise of what that might be. Let me ask you, Mitch Sherman. Did Sean Eichhorst make this decision, or did someone else, Harvey Perlman, make this decision?
Well, I think Sean Eichhorst did. You know, I don't think there's any funny business going on there. You know, I think Harvey Perlman put Sean Eichhorst in, he empowered him to make this decision, but I don't think there was pressure placed on him. I don't think it was a directive that came down from the top. I don't think the two of them necessarily have had ongoing discussions about plotting Bo Pelini's demise. I'm not into conspiracy theories on that. I believe that Perlman also had his issues. I know he did with Bo Pelini and some of the things that happened over the last 7 years. But I truly don't think that influenced Eichhorst, you know, in any kind of significant way. I think that this was his call. You know, when he went to Perlman and told him of his decision, you know, clearly I think Perlman agreed with it, but I don't think his influence weighed heavily on Sean Eichhorst's mind as he went about making the decision.
Mitch, last thing, firings are always usually about the negative. What's the most positive thing you'll remember about Bo Pelini?
Well, there are lots of positive things. You know, the way that he brought people together, the guys that played for him, the kind of loyalty that they show for him, and the passion that they have for him, and when they talk about him as a great man and a leader, you know, that's not lip service. You know, he has a unique way of bringing his team together, of getting those guys to play and be inspired. And you saw it on Friday. You saw it in multiple instances in the way that Nebraska came back and you know, responded to adversity. It's just you know, unfortunate that you know that there wasn't a more you know, Nebraska wasn't able to do to perform like that. And as I, of course, said, the biggest games and in the games that matter. You didn't see that kind of performance in those games. But the way that his players played for him and the love that they have for him, that was very real. And I'll probably always remember that about his time here.
We will get into recruits, what former players thought. Jared Crick, Jack Gangwa, Sean Callahan, all joining us. And, folks, you can always read more, ESPN.com. Follow Mitch Sherman. Always does a great job. And weekly on Hail Varsity with Chris Schmidt, which is 4 to 6 here on ESPN Radio. So, Mitch, thanks for making some time for us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll talk again.
Happy to do it. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, formerly World Herald, takes care of a lot of recruiting nationally and has kept an eye on the Nebraska story for quite some time. Was in Iowa City with most of the folks this past week. We've got a ton of emails to get to. I've got a feeling that we might get some phone calls from Ernie in Wood River or Fred in Tecumseh or whoever else. We will do all of that when we come back.
Jim Gray from Westwood One with a preview of Monday Night Football, sponsored by Jared. Shop Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, with five times the selection of an ordinary jewelry store. Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com. From the Meadowlands, it's AFC East action as the Jets host the Dolphins. Miami is coming off a loss to the Broncos last week and now stand at 6-5. Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill says they know time is running out for postseason hope.
Situation is what it is. You know, there's a lot of good teams in the AFC. Now we're getting into December football now, coming up in the next couple weeks, and you know that's when teams either make it or fall back.
Kevin Harlan and Boomer Esiason will have the call of the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL all season long. Right here in Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
The new Hyundai Sonata lets you choose between three driving modes. There's sport mode. It's quick when you need it. There's also eco mode. Helps use less, bro, because the environment. Or you can split the difference with normal mode. Any way you drive it, it's amazing. The entirely new Hyundai Sonata. One drive and you'll get it. Learn more at allnewsonata.com.
2015 Sonata SE. EPA estimated 25 city and 37 highway MPG using normal mode. For comparison only, actual mileage may vary.
In the center of Nebraska, Platte Valley Auto is centered on you. We understand that we have the best customers anywhere. That inspires us to be a great place to buy your next car, truck, or van. You see, at Platte Valley Auto, we get it. This is all about building relationships. If we help you find what you want, you'll come back. So why not work hard from the start? So come on down to Platte Valley Auto in beautiful downtown Lexington or see us at PlatteValleyAuto.com where we've been selling cars and making friends for over 32 years.
For today, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 26. Winds will be out of the north between 5 and 10. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low near 14. For Tuesday, it'll be sunny with a high near 48. And Tuesday night, partly cloudy. Currently, it's 14.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, a special extended edition of today's show. We're going to go probably as long as there is interest. The email's flying in. We've got callers standing by. This comes from John in Kearney, who says, Bo Pelini's nine wins every year is a little tainted. And I get this. There's a lot around this nine-win debate. And here's what he says. 9-16, and again, all stats can be skewed in your favor. That's what debate is about. 9-16 versus top 25 teams. Two wins over top 10 teams. Weak non-conference schedule in nine season wins. See, again, I come back to, just because it says Minnesota on the front of their jerseys doesn't mean they sucked. You know what? They didn't. Okay? Just because it said Minnesota You know, and that's happened. As you mentioned, some teams are getting better, a Northwestern or so. Hot-headedness, sideline behavior, embarrassing to Nebraska. That's 50-50. Some people didn't care. A lot of people did. Never really fit in with the fan base at Nebraska. No conference championships. Had enough time to get it done. Terrible in front of the mic. Worse than Bill Belichick, he says. Defensive mind? Questionable. Getting players ready to play? No. Goodbye, Bo, says John in Kearney. Let's go to the phone lines here. The Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. One of our favorites, Fred from Tecumseh, is waiting. I just had a feeling that Fred would have
from Tecumseh, good deal.
He would have something to say. Good morning, Fred.
What's up today, Doug?
Well, we're looking for coaches in a couple of places. I know the rest of the state doesn't know that Kearney and Lincoln might have something in common here, but we're looking for a coach. Are you happy?
No, not really. You know, it's the same old deal, non-realistic fans. And, you know, we'll just start out with the coaching search. Everybody throws up these names. Okay, we want Mark Wright. Let me see. We beat him last year in the bowl game. Jim Moore, you know, they always talk about what a good hire UCLA had there. What did USC do to him 2 weeks ago?
And what Stanford
did. That's kind of a bad loss there.
And what Stanford did to him this weekend.
And Stanford did to him this year, yeah. This week. You know, everybody wants this stuff, but you got to realize those places, I still contend that whatever Osborne did over his years, there ought to be more than a statue. There ought to be a statue at the College Hall of Fame of Coaches. For what he did, you know, back in those days, we were the number one program because we did have the only weight facility. We did have the good facilities, the training tables. Guess what? Everybody's got those today. Okay, let me see. I can stay at home and mom can come watch me every day, or I can go to Nebraska where it's 17 degrees and mom can come watch one game. You know, I don't know where you think you're going to get these coaches to come in here. Everybody, obviously, we got the money because we can piss away $15 million on hiring coaches in 7 years. You know, it's some slush fund we got. You know, if I got some guy working for me in over 7 years, he has cost me $15 million, I'm kind of looking and say, you know what, maybe it ain't the coaches. Maybe we need to look at Harvey.
And for the folks out there, the buyout for Coach Pelini, if status stays the same and he's not rehired and legalities don't change, is nearly $7.9 million, and it'll be for the pool of assistant coaches around $4 million. So you're talking approximately $12 million that will be going out the door to people that will no longer be working for Nebraska. Fred, did you have anything else?
Well, and then you throw in the $3 or $4 million we had to buy Callahan out. And then if we go get somebody that's good, they're going to have a buyout. Somebody's going to have to pay that buyout. So this ain't just $12 million. But I do, before we get going, I do have one last thing to get on. And I'm not a social media guy. I'm lucky to be able to text.
Okay.
But here's the deal. And they can argue all you want. I do believe that Omaha World Herald had a hard-on for Bo Pelini because Bo didn't answer the questions they liked. And you know why Bo didn't answer those questions? Because they kept asking the same stupid questions time after time. You know what? Chatlin, all these guys, you know, the thing that really got me, and I don't take the World Herald, but I listen to people tell me what stupid things they do, just like the McEwen deal after the Iowa game. I get home, I'm watching, I'm going, okay, here's the game recap of Iowa. Goes through the whole deal. Now, Einhorst hadn't said anything about firing anybody up to this point. All of a sudden, at the end of the deal, we got to bring up, what's this do for Bo Pelini? Did somebody ask him a question? What was doing? No, he's got to bring it up. So I do believe that Omaha World Herald had a hard-on for Bo Pelini, and I do believe Harvey Perlman had a hard-on for Bo, which, you know, just because Bo didn't put on a bow tie and go to all the functions and, you know, he might have ruffled a little feathers on the sidelines, you know, got after some guys. But, you know, and then the social media, this deal on going after these kids yesterday, you know, the one I got was, I've seen the one from Tommy Armstrong. You know, he comes out and voices what he, you know, he's sincere. You know, he's hurt. Comes out and says, you know, you guys made a mistake. That's fine. You know, I love Bo. He's taught me all this. And the first thing some guy comes up, yeah, he taught you to be mediocre. Really? You know, I told people a long time ago, because I was in around kids all the time, I said, don't badmouth somebody else's kid, because you're going to have that same kid. Unless your kid is perfect, you better not say anything about anybody else's kid.
Nobody has a perfect kid, that's for sure. Don't cast the first stone. We were supposed to learn that back in elementary school. Hey, Fred, appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Always great to hear from you.
All right.
Fred from Tecumseh, folks, we implore you, we ask you, if you would like to join us on the special extended edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, to do so today. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, the day after Nebraska officially fires Bo Pelini. The Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776, toll free, 888-455-3776. You can tweet at us, ESPN 1460 and 1550. And Mark via the Twitter. Here's what we've got. We went into the Big Ten as conference favorites, now just played a game to not get fourth in the weaker division. Regression, although winning nine games, and this is woulda, coulda, shoulda, but blowouts are a Penn State touchdown review away from 6-6 in 2013. That's how I would start my conversation on why to fire Bo. Valid or not is up for debate. Mark and Minden, be careful what you wish for. There are more Callahans than Tom Osborne's and Nick Saban's out there. We are now a lot closer to becoming like Michigan than making a run at a championship. Joe, he fires in. Some of these are a little long. We'll get to most of it. Can't read the whole book on some of these. Joe says, a few takes on Pelini. As an odds and numbers guy, I was never on board with Pelini. Football is about individual battles, and in the big games, I'm taking a 4- and 5-star recruit against a Pelini walk-on all day, every day. He lost me right away when he hired his brother and later started his nephew. This is a storied D1 program, not high school football team. Those moments show me he was way over his head for his job. He was never articulate or showed a vision for the program. We had patience with Osborne because he may have lost the game, but we physically beat you up. You knew Osborne was doing something visionary because coaches across the country were traveling to Lincoln to see our facilities. He was ahead of his time. We had a Husker style. I'll stop right there. I don't think anybody was coming to see what T.O. was doing in 1975 when he couldn't beat Oklahoma. 10 years, 15 years later, yes. We had a Husker style that was unique. At parks, playgrounds, and Friday nights, we were noticeably playing Husker-style football. We have the ability to recruit the best option quarterback in the nation. Feed Nebraska boys blocking. We need a style noticeable as Nebraska football. It's a good day for Husker Nation. See you later, Bo. Take your coaching staff with you. He's also got a few guys he'd like to see as coaches. Scott Frost, Paul Johnson from Georgia Tech, Ken Nimitalo from Navy. So there's... I mean, there's so many names out there. Almost every Division I name is out there. If you'd like to join us, 888-455-3776. Jared Crick, Sean Callahan will be coming up here in the next few minutes. Let us go to Dan from St. Labore, who is standing by on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. Dan, good morning.
This is Don. But
Don, excuse me. Don, good morning.
That's
how are you?
No problem. Hey, on your comments just a little bit ago with Doug, he's right. We definitely need to get a handle on this because, you know, the people are trying to do it, but the AD, what is he doing? Trying to protect his job? And I'm looking at it this way. Bo is improving, and he's getting better recruits. Now all of a sudden we don't have the recruits, the 5-star and whatever. So, you know, and why would the AD give a year extension if he was looking at this a year ago that, you know, it shouldn't, he may not be the best one. Is there a conflict on the, between the chancellor and the AD against Pelini because he does what he does? Well, look at a few years ago. Osborne couldn't win, and how many times was he fired? If it wouldn't have been for Devaney, he'd have probably been out the door. He couldn't do anything until He won big one.
I think, Don, do you think if Tom Osborne was still AD, we would have made the change?
No.
I think you're right. A lot of people, you know, when I say a lot of people, I'm just saying I've heard this from multiple sources. You know, there's all this, it's not even conspiracy theory because there's some logic to it. A lot of people thought that they brought in Harvey Perlman, wanted a Sean Eichor so that he could fire a Bo Pelini. It would just not be able to happen right away. And if Nebraska somehow won the Big Ten championship this year, then everything's fine, and you go on from there. Don, hey, thanks so much for the call today, and appreciate you listening.
I appreciate you, too.
Take care. Don from St. Labore, wherever you're listening today, we'd love to hear from you. Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. Mark says, so sick of hearing the 9-win argument. Nobody gets tired of winning 9 games. We were getting tired of being irrelevant. 9-4 isn't the same as 9 wins was in the past, and I agree, 11 games, 9-2 is a lot different than 9-4. But Nebraska fans hated 9-2, too. Look at our final rankings. No top 14 finishes in the 7 years. I was as big a supporter of Pelini as anyone. The sideline antics never bothered me. I think he got that animated ordering a pizza. The players loved him, understandably. The fact that Jimmy is comparing us and saying Northwestern is a big win for us showed how we've slipped, not only nationally, but our perspective has changed. I don't think Jimmy said it was a big win for us. He just said Northwestern was better. It, like I said with Minnesota, this isn't the Northwestern and Minnesota's of the 70s and 80s. And Mark goes on to say, championships are a byproduct of a program trending on the right direction. We couldn't continue to stay stagnant and become irrelevant and recruit nationally. We'll get more of your emails. We'll continue till at least noon. Jared Crick, Sean Callahan coming up. Keep sending us your emails. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll be right back.
The first time you saw a laser level, you were probably a little suspect. Now you wonder how you did without it. At a Red Wing shoe store, we use the latest tools to give you the best fit, like a digital measuring device that not only scans the length and width of your feet, but even gauges pressure points and arch height. And Red Wing offers a 30-day comfort guarantee. It's all part of making sure your boots do their job so you can do yours. Red Wing Shoes. Work is our work.
Spring is here, and that means it's time to clean up during the spring sale at Rent-A-Center. Right now, save on all washer and dryer pairs and all refrigerators, priced to fit your budget, with setup and delivery included. Get all the features and functions you need with the latest technology you want with no credit check. Hurry in and clean up on the season's best deals for your home during the spring sale going on now, only at Rent-A-Center. Rental purchase transaction offer expires April 26, 2014. See store for details.
Thank you for the pleasure of your friendship and goodwill during the past year. Wishing you a wonderful holiday season and a new year full of happiness and prosperity. When you need us, we will be there. Kearney Towing and Repair.
For lunch or dinner, it's Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food, Bandits, where you can enjoy Saks' Pizza, the area's favorite. Bandits' famous wings, Sparky, Buffalo, Sweet Teriyaki, Garlic Parmesan, and Spicy Breaded. There's Taco Chef and Chicken Salads, Meatball Subs, and an appetizer menu which includes Tim's delicious taco meat and melted cheese nachos, toasted to perfection. Weekday happy hours from 4 to 6 and all day Sunday with ice-cold 250 huge mugs and $2 domestic pints and bottles. Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food. Head to Bandits, 13th and 281. Grand Island.
It's going to be a non-intimidating environment. It's going to be things that you know that you can do.
CrossFit Archway's Aaron Harris has a 24-day program beginning December 1st that will make this Christmas special.
We're going to focus on real functional movements. It's not going to have any of the intimidating barbell lifting. We just want to show you in 24 days, you can change your life. You can change your body. You can change the way you think about fitness.
Hurry, this special introductory camp begins December 1st. Find out more at CrossFitArchway.com.
You work hard and the clothes you wear work just as hard. This is Don Dreyer, and for clothes that put in a hard day's work, come to Willis Shoe and Boot, where you'll find Wolverine and Walls workwear. At Willis Shoe and Boot, you'll find traditional insulated coveralls and coats, hooded jackets, vests, denim and fleece-lined work shirts, hooded sweatshirts, and thermal work shirts. For clothes that work as hard as you do, come to Willis Shoe and Boot, 379 North Walnut, Grand Island.
When it comes to footwear, there's one good name to know. Come get the best, come make the stop at Willis Shoe and Boot Shop.
Hey,
Dog and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. If you're joining us, we started early at 10 this morning. We want your thoughts. You're Central Nebraska fans. We're the only outstate radio program that there is, and we appreciate you joining us. We have been here longer than almost every other sports talk radio show in the Nebraska state of Nebraska. We appreciate you joining us, and hopefully the transfer from Callahan to Pelini to the Big Ten to what we are today, you're enjoying our coverage. And we have a ton of emails and tweets that are flying in here. We will try to get to all of those. Matt says, hey, Doug, what's the over-under on the use of the word hard-on when Fred calls back in? This is like Brad Dixon putting funny things up there. He says, Barney Cotton should be the interim head coach. He fathered half the team.
I'll tell you what, Fred made a great point. And one of the points he made was about Tom Osborne. And Bill Walsh said this during an Orange Bowl one time when Nebraska was getting beat by Miami. And the final score was 22-3, and we were not competing very well. But we were doing everything we could to stay in the game. And he said, hey, what Tom Osborne has done at Nebraska is amazing. I know the people are upset with him today. But he said, can you imagine the recruiting base he has in Lincoln? You know, how many people, and I don't think people realize this, but there are more kids that attend private schools in Chicago, Illinois, Doug, than all the public schools in the state of Nebraska. That's the difference. How many millions of people are in different areas of this state. And what Tom did to recruit and go out and get all these players from all over the United States. At one time, I think we had like 33 states represented on one team that had like 48 players on the team. So that was amazing what Tom Osborne accomplished during that time, even though he was not winning national championships at the time. Then he went on and won a couple. But Bill Walsh made that comment, and I thought that was very important for people to understand what the national scene saw, not just people in Nebraska.
You're just bringing up Bill Walsh so that I'll finally say Scott Frost.
No.
Scott Frost went to Stanford to play
Bill Walsh. Yes, he did.
This comes from Klondog on the Twitter. Huskers have beat two teams with winning records this year. It's the way we lost every year that brought this up. I continue to hear that argument.
I think it's
true.
We were
underdogs in two games, and we lost by four to Minnesota. Yes, nobody likes losing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I like? Worse than losing three games, losing eight.
You know, I'll tell you, I hear this a lot, though. It was, and I think it really is true. I mean, and it's hard to defend it the way we gave up 56 straight points, or how we lost some of these games, and people don't like getting beat that bad. But what's kind of interesting is when we played Florida in the national championship game, and at one time when the score was 62-17, I don't know if Florida enjoyed that.
Yeah.
You know,
fire spurrier?
Well, they might have. But, hey, you know, basically what Doug, now he went on to the Washington Redskins is what happened. Oops. But what, Doug, some of these games do snowball. Now, you're a head coach, and you're playing, and you've got your players, and they're competing, and all of a sudden things go, and they do snowball. And this isn't the first time somebody's gotten beat real bad in a national championship game or a state champ. Look at the state championship games in Nebraska this year. The high school state championship games, every one of them, and how many of close ones there were in the final. So sometimes these things do snowball on you.
Let's give one on the Pro Bowl side. This comes from Trent. First off, I believe Bo Pelini is a really good football coach. I believe he'll land on his feet, and I believe he may excel to a higher level at another school. 9 wins is fine. We lost to the 10th, 14th, and 18th ranked teams in the country. We should have won one, could have won one, and got blown out in the other, which is sadly something we've come to expect from Bo's teams. And again, it's not just Bo's teams. It was the two coaches before that, as I said when we started the show. Watching, following, rewatching closely, it's clear to me that we have better players than the teams that we lost to. It's clear to me that we out-talent the mediocre teams, get out-prepared by teams with even remotely similar talent. We play in one of the easiest divisions in football. We should be dominating it. As fans, we just want to compete and play close to our best on a week-to-week basis. The fan base has become apathetic under the leadership of Bo. I've seen that from bars, garages, Memorial Stadium, message boards. I'm excited to get a new coach to pump some energy into the program. I wanted an offensive coordinator change, but looking from the outside in, it's hard to think people want to work with Bo. Bo may be a great guy, but his perception that he himself has created has killed any chance of him hiring home run coordinators. He could have saved his job by kicking Iowa's ass. I don't know about that. Instead, we were sloppy and beat a middle-of-the-road team, which is kind of what Sean Eichor said yesterday. Iowa's Iowa. We can be very good soon. I'm excited to see some changes, who can develop quarterbacks, be media-friendly, and be willing to have the self-awareness to make changes on on the go for the betterment of our football team. I can't wait for the announcement. Thanks, Doug. Go Big Red. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on a special extended edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Sean Callahan has been with us on the show from the very beginning, not just this year, but every year, and Husker Lunches. And Sean was very swamped with coverage yesterday as well. Sean, have you been able to take a breath? How are you, man?
Yeah, we just got done meeting. You're about my fourth radio of the day, so it's still pretty busy. But, yeah, I apologize, Doug. I wasn't able to talk to you guys yesterday. I was hoping to get on with you, but I couldn't even move 5 feet without someone else coming up.
Well, no doubt. And you've done, as I said, you were doing interviews when I left. You're trying to write with your staff, as excellent as always, on Husker Online, trying to get everything out there. So in this last not even 24 hours, what's the main questions that are being asked of you about the program in the next step that Nebraska is going to have to take?
Well, I think the biggest thing, obviously, is who's the guy going to be and what direction they're going to go. Does I-Corps have that guy already in mind? I think it's pretty clear. The comment I go back to is he said, Saturday night, things crystallized for me. So that almost told me maybe Saturday night he got that call from that agent or whoever tied to the coach he wants that the guy he wants was coming. So who that is, I don't know. There's a lot of names out there. The one that I'm hearing today that kind of intrigues me a little is Dan Mullen at Mississippi State. I mean, he was mentioned to be a guy at Florida, but it doesn't look like he's going to be the guy for Florida. There's talks about Hugh Freeze being approached out there, but I found it real interesting. We were having our staff meeting this morning. Dan Mullen started following the real Dan Mullen Twitter account 6 weeks ago, started following Nate Klaus, my recruiting writer for Husker Online, our main recruiting guy. And I'm like, why? We're talking about this. Why would he have started following our guy 6 weeks ago? So there could be some legs to Dan Mullen having some interest or being a candidate or being approached, for this position. You know, Jim Tressel, a lot of people are talking about him. There's unofficial Las Vegas odds out there. Tressel's the leader in the clubhouse if you have fun at that kind of stuff. But the other thing, guys, is the recruiting. What's going on? What recruits are staying? There are a lot of reports out there, a lot of tweets initially. We've been able to talk to and get comments from just about every recruit. As of today, of the 14 committed 2015 prospects, only one has officially decommitted where he's no longer listed. That was Mirko Jurkovic, and we reported on Wednesday night he was visiting Ohio State before Pelini was fired. So that one kind of we knew was coming, but everybody else in the class is kind of maybe doing a wait and see just to see kind of what happens here next.
Little Husker recruiting talk amidst all this, because that was definitely one of the questions I wanted to get to, brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems with numerous pivot control options as you're looking into 2015. Be sure to go to TLIRR.com or visit your local TNL Irrigation dealer to find out about Precision Point Control 3, Pivot Manager 2, all that goes along with what has made them the most popular since 1955 at their worldwide headquarters in Hastings. TLNL Irrigation, proven technology that works. Sean, we walked off the field together out of when we were all done with our work at Iowa City, and you just turned to me and said, how can you fire a 9-3 coach? Are you on the I can't believe they did this?
That's why I think I-Corps maybe waited another day, because you can get caught up in that emotion, of a great dramatic comeback overtime victory. I think there is a little of that in me just because, I know the blowback that Steve Peterson went through when he did it with Solich. But then you go back and you look at the games, as Sean I-Corps said, the games of meaning, the games that matter. Nebraska has not played well, and they've lost those games really under Pelini the entire time. His record against ranked opponents speaks, volumes. I think Sean I-Corps basically said, this job, the way the division is set up, you should basically automatically be a 7-8 game winner at Nebraska every year based on resources. When you look at the Big Ten West, nobody in the West has even close to the facilities and the resources of Nebraska. Wisconsin has a nice stadium, but they don't have the money or the resources dedicated to football like Nebraska does. Iowa's kind of in that same boat. Minnesota has that nice new stadium, but we know they don't have all the facilities and resources like Nebraska. So this should be a job the way it's set up now, where you should win the Big Ten West more often than not, based on what you have to work with in terms of support and resources and facilities. And I think the damage Nebraska has suffered in those blowout losses, it really has affected the brand and the image of Nebraska. When you give up 408 yards to Melvin Gordon, or you get blown out in a Big Ten championship game by Wisconsin or at Ohio State, I just think the brand damage Nebraska suffered in those blowout losses played a big factor in this decision.
Hey, I'm Jim Langan. Question I have for you, it seems to me that in 2014 that coaches are at the NCAA level, they're having big buyouts. Because they know what's going on here is you get fired very quickly. And so when these coaches take a job, they go, okay, I'll take this job, but here's what I need. I need $3 million guaranteed over a four-year contract or whatever that amount might be before I come here because, hey, in 1 or 2 years, I'm gone. You know, when Bob Devaney stood behind Osborne for many years and Joe Cipriano kept his job for many years at the University of Nebraska, these guys were on, and they didn't always win, but they were kind of consistent with what took place. But their frustration level maybe was the same, but still nothing was being done. Now it seems because of the frustration level, many people are getting fired very quickly. You look at how many basketball coaches Nebraska's lost, how many football coaches we've gone through. And this isn't the only program in the nation, and that's why there's these buyouts. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's just different, guys. I mean, back before, you know, all that stuff was going on, I mean, there wasn't a way for fans to really voice their opinions like now and have everybody hear them. You know, back then, you know, you had the barbershop or the neighborhood bar, or, you know, maybe the World Herald had the voices from the grandstand section, and that was it. Talk radio wasn't around, as we know, Twitter, all these things out there, message boards and whatnot. So I just think there's so many more ways for people to voice it, and that voice has much more impact than it once did before. Because you mentioned that. I mean, Bob Devaney, after back-to-back 6-4 seasons, you know, when he got to Nebraska after his early success, had those 6-4 years, they circled a petition to fire Bob Devaney. You know, back when Tom Osborne was here, the same thing happened twice. I think in 77 or 78, he almost went to Colorado. And then in 1991, you know, he thought they were going to get fired after the season where they lost to Georgia Tech in the Citrus Bowl. And he informed the coaches that if you have other job offers, it might be wise to take them. So this is something that has gone on in Nebraska for a long time where it's great. You know, the fans are great here. There's so much passion. But sometimes that passion can turn against you. And, you know, a lot of people chime in and have opinions and whatnot. And it can be a tough monster to fight.
Talking with Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com on this special extended edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Nebraska has to move forward now. Bo Pelini did a lot of good things. You've touched on what some of the players have been heard out there. And that's always going to happen when you lose your coach. Most of the guys that say something are going to defend it. And I have to be careful here, Sean, because I want people to know that, because I'm going to ask this question a couple of times to a different couple of people, and I know that it's kind of one of those back-in-the-corner type questions. Dirk Chatelain's going to be on the show tomorrow, and I'm going to point-blank ask him his thoughts on the people that don't like him and don't like the Omaha World Herald and Tom Chattel and some of the things like that. As you mentioned, the fans didn't have these medium to go through over the past few years. At what point was it proper to even start talking about firing a coach that kept winning 9 football games? Was the Nebraska fan base and the masses that upset, in your opinion? And how did some of it? Because I have to be honest, when I read the World Herald, the Journal Star, all the online things, the World Herald was always the most negative. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, just saying they were, in my opinion. I just wondered if you might have a thought on that, even though we work with some of those guys on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to – they just have a lot of guys there. I mean, when you have Warren Buffett owning your publication, they have a lot of people, a lot of resources, a lot of writers, and a lot of opinion pieces now. And you can't have every opinion piece, you know, be a positive piece. So, you know, guys like Lee and Dirk tend to take the critical side for their publication, where I think Sam takes more of that X's and O, and you know, Sam, I think, writes always pretty fair. He's never a guy that's overly critical. But I just think when you have that many people on a sports staff covering one football team, probably more dedicated writers to covering a college team than any other newspaper in the country, you know, there's just going to have to be some differentiating opinions. And that would be my take on that. I don't think everybody is going to be like that. But Lee, you know, we follow Lee. I mean, I've followed him since I was a little kid. He's always been the guy that's kind of been he played the villain writer. You know, every basketball coach, every football coach, you know, when they struggle, he's the guy that typically will write the first real critical piece in that matter. And that's just kind of been his role with their paper over the years, as being kind of the critical writer. And, you know, Dirk does a lot of different things. But, yeah, I think it's a fair assessment to say, but I also think they have so many more writers that somebody has to write that type of stuff.
Yeah, not afraid sometimes to ask the really difficult, uncomfortable question. And I hope that, because we had a couple of callers already on the program, had kind of touched on that. A lot of people have asked me about that, and I think, Sean, that's a great way to categorize and
they have a little bit more
answered.
Protection. I mean, they, like, you know, being the World Herald, Bo never could just say you're not allowed to come around anymore. I don't want you here. I mean, they were protected. I mean, when you're protected a little bit more when you have Warren Buffett defending your publication and being the largest outlet in the state. I mean, I just think that they can get, you know, they didn't have to worry about being shut out by Bo or banned by Bo and things like that.
Jim Langan here. You know, when I look back at Bo Pelini, there's a Peter principle here where people move up the ladder. They have success, and they move up the ladder, they move up the ladder, they move up the ladder. And, you know, I look at Jimmy Carter as a president. He was the president of the United States, but did a very poor job, I felt. Very poor job, but a very kind man, very good person. He needed to stay where he was at. He was going to be very successful. Once he left the presidency, he then was successful, too. Bo Pelini, is he just a defensive coordinator, maybe one of the best in the nation, and did not need to be a head coach? Did we put him in a bad situation? Bo's not a head coach because he does not handle the media well. He does not handle the press well. His sideline to media a little bit. He's doesn't do very good with the interviews right during the game. I mean, those are things he's weak at. I think the players love him. They want to play for him. I don't think that's a problem. I know that we got blown out a couple times, but I don't care. I coached. I know how easy it happens when somebody gets blown out. I mean, we were prepared. I thought we did everything good, and then, man, all of a sudden it snowballs. I understand how that happens, but do you think Bo Pelini is just probably better as a defensive coordinator?
I think he's a head coach, but maybe just not at a place like this. Just the demand and the amount of things you have to embrace and everything that goes with this job makes it very unique. And I don't know if he was cut out for all of that. Bo Pelini didn't like to do public speaking events. Well, that's a problem at a place like Nebraska. Now, if you took the job at the University of Miami or, you know, somewhere where football is not as big of a priority, I think he'd be a good fit at a place like that. But, no, I think he is a head coach. I just don't know if this is the right place for him. And I think he has grown a lot. He learned a lot in 7 years. You know, his recruiting his first couple years was very poor. I mean, they weren't very organized. They didn't have as good of a plan down. And I think that got better with the last three classes, and we're seeing that on the field right now. But his first couple years, those first two or three classes, they really didn't pan out. And that's, you go back to why that defense last year was all freshmen and sophomores playing. It was because of recruiting mistakes. Never at Nebraska should you have a defense front seven all be freshmen and sophomore players. And that's kind of where they were last year. So I think they overcame some of that. But, no, I think he will get an opportunity to go somewhere, whether it's a SEC defensive coordinator, maybe back in the NFL, or even a head coach. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him coaching next year.
Well, Sean, I don't want to keep you on too much longer because you're going to need some throat lozenges and some medication here, but will Nebraska's bowl selection change? Because, I mean, let's face it, I've got this feeling too. They're just going to get rolled, and I hope that's not the case, but you just kind of get that feeling. We've been talking Holiday Bowl a lot. Is that almost a lock, or is there now some speculation?
Well, I've seen everything from the Outback Bowl, Holiday Bowl, the Foster Farms Bowl. I would say yeah, Holiday Bowl makes the most sense. You know, the Big Ten is actually in pretty good position right now because Michigan State's in the top 10. They're going to get a Power 6 invite, whether that's the Orange Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Cotton, or Fiesta. Michigan State's going to be in one of those games. Ohio State, if they lose to Wisconsin – they could still technically get one of those bigger bowl invites as well, meaning the Big Ten might get three New Year's Six invites. For sure they're going to get two. So that's going to slot everybody up a little bit. It's just a matter of what they want to do with Minnesota. I think Minnesota is going to go to Florida. We know that. But where does Nebraska and Wisconsin fall in the pecking order? Nebraska technically is the fifth team in the Big Ten right now. But they're going to try to – going out west makes sense. I would rather probably go to San Francisco just because they've never been there before. And I think it would be fun to go to a new bowl location. There's a group of players on the team, probably about seven or eight guys that were on a team that's already played in San Diego. I wouldn't be surprised if Nebraska won the bowl game because there's no pressure. And I could see them playing pretty loose and carefree and kind of like what happened in 2003 when Nebraska beat Michigan State with an interim head coach.
Huh, what was that guy's name? Oh, yeah, Bo Pelini. Well, I just the new prognostications from a few places aren't out, but, boy, Nebraska, Auburn, or Missouri in the Outback Bowl, maybe getting to Clemson.
Ole Miss in the say this much. I wouldn't want any part of playing Ole Miss. They have a lot of talent.
Well, let's see somebody new. That'd be fun. Sean, anything else that you wanted to comment on before we let you go?
You know, just trying to stay on it. There's a lot going on, and we had I couldn't believe the amount of traffic we had yesterday on our site. It was just unbelievable how much interest there is on something like this when it happens.
Well, we always appreciate the time, Sean. We'll talk again real soon, buddy. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Sean Callahan, HuskerOnline.com. You can find out a lot more. They've talked, as he said, to a lot of the commits. There's basketball tonight. They're talking about that. More about what people are saying and what they're thinking is going on with Athletic Director Sean Eichhorst.
You know what's interesting is you talked about I didn't look at the Big Ten and the bowl situation we're in, but what's really interesting is what will happen if Wisconsin beats Ohio State with all these bowl things, because mm-hmm. I believe Wisconsin's a 4-point favorite now. Mm-hmm. You know, so what I'm trying to say, it's very possible. This isn't like a 22-point underdog knocking somebody off. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with all these bowl situations in the Big Ten conference, because I don't think it's guaranteed where Nebraska's going to go.
I think it'll be interesting to watch that Big Ten championship. Ohio State's an underdog because J.T. Barrett broke his ankle
Correct.
On Saturday, and they're going to a 6'5", 250-pound quarterback. Hey, let me hit a couple of more emails here. The Doug and Daddy Show, we started at 10 this morning, so if you're joining us right now in our normal time slot, that's what's going on. We've already had a chance to talk to Mitch Sherman. We've already talked, as you just heard, Sean Callahan. Jared Crick's going to be coming up. Hope to have a few more guests. We're going to hear a short interview I did with Jack Gangwish after the Iowa game out in Iowa City, and I've got a lot of emails to get to, but right now, Dave from Kearney is standing by on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Duda. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. Jimmy's here, too. You want to say hi to Jim?
Say hi to Pops for me. Hello.
How you doing?
What's going on?
Not much. Just wanted to call since I don't really get to offer much opinion from time to time. I figured maybe this would be a good outlet to express my feelings.
Fire it. You're,
alrighty.
Should we tell everybody who you are, or do you want to keep that identity not known right now?
I mean, I think the cat's out of the bag, but go ahead.
Well, Dave Greek, NTV Sports Director, is joining us here. And I think, I don't know, I have no idea what Dave's going to say, but not being a native Nebraskan and then being around the program, I'm always intrigued by those because, again, a lot of the guys that are working, and we brought up the names, grew up in Nebraska, not everybody. So, Dave, fire away.
No, you're right. I didn't grow up in Nebraska, and truth be told, I hated the Huskers because when I was growing up, so I was 12, 13 years old, the Huskers were always winning. Of course, I'm from Colorado, so they would beat the Buffs. So I hated the Huskers because of that. I hated Michael Jordan growing up. I was just one of those underdog kind of guys. Anyhow, I mean, I think I've made my point pretty clear on air that I was a big Bo Pelini supporter. But after Wisconsin, it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I thought, this always happens. This is the same song and dance that we've had to deal with so many times. It's just not fun anymore. When you go to those games, you're looking forward to it. You think the Huskers, this is it. They've made that jump. They're going to turn the corner and get the big road victory. And they just didn't do it again. And then they got blown out when they were up 17-3 in the second quarter. They were holding down Melvin Gordon. So I look at it, and I got to think that it's not necessarily coaching because, again, 9 wins every single year. Only Alabama and Oregon have been on that same type of level in terms of victories. I think it's the talent, and I think it's the recruiting, and I think Bo was real close with his guys. He didn't quite bring in the best recruiters, and that ultimately was the downfall of Bo Pelini.
Yeah, you know, I think you made a good point. I think everybody I've talked to has they talk about getting blown out, that is really the one downfall that is really hard to back Bo on. I mean, everything else you can kind of back on. Hey, this is that. This is it. Hey, he's got 9 wins. But it's the way they lost some of these games. I mean, and we're talking about guys that are going for 20 yards and not even being touched. I mean, it's, right. There was times where, like, the defense almost looked like folding chairs.
I heard that a lot this weekend about discipline with penalties and stopping what appears to be simple plays, i.e. the read option against Minnesota.
Yeah, and it just I agree with what you're saying there as far as not being able to compete. But, you know, it's like I say, I just wonder if the assistant coaches he hired – And I'm going to tell you this, Dave. I think they're easy targets to talk about. I mean, I know when I referee a basketball game and the head coach is yelling at me the whole game, and then some young assistant just kind of pipes up and goes, "Hey, watch the traveling." And then I turn around and tee him up. He's an easy target. You know, hey, I mean, if Tom Kropp's yelling at me, I got to have enough to tee Tom Kropp up, not pick somebody down the line that's a graduate assistant. But I don't think those people helped him with the recruiting process.
I think that was the problem, that they didn't have the right avenues to help him in the recruiting process. And that was the downfall, because he couldn't get enough talent in there. Hey, I love Riker Fife, but when he's the number 2 quarterback on your team, he was a viable candidate to be a starting quarterback at UNK. Daryl Morris wanted him to play for the Lopers. The problem was Riker decided maybe I'd give this walk-on deal a shot, and he was 4th string just a couple years ago, and now he's number 2. So I'm not trying to bag on Riker Fife. He's a good kid. He's got a strong arm. I don't know if he should be the starting quarterback at a Division I university, especially of Nebraska's caliber.
Yeah, and I wouldn't know enough. I'm like you, Riker Fife. I think he was a tremendous athlete at Grand Island High when I refereed him in a lot of sports. I'm not going to comment on that. But I will say this. I don't think our assistant coaches, when they went out and go out and recruit, could get the 5-star players. I don't think they helped him get any 5-star players. And I think there are other assistant coaches in the nation. And I look at Alabama. He took Lane Kiffin. He was not afraid to take a head coach and take Lane Kiffin. That was controversial. Lane Kiffin was an easy target. He lost his job at Tennessee, lost his job at USC, took him, and guess what? They scored 55.
I do want to point out that some of the best recruiters were on staff, and for a variety of reasons, and a lot of those aren't front page newspaper lead off NTV stories, are no longer with the program.
Great point, Doug.
Dave, anything else?
I did want to jump in on the future coaching real quick. I know you talked about it earlier, but the buyouts for Pelini at 7.9, the assistant pool is at 4. Granted, that can change depending on future jobs, and I'm sure they'll all land another job in the future. But Jim McElwain, for an idea candidate, he's got a $7.5 million buyout at Colorado State, and you know the Rams are going to ask for every one of those pennies because they're trying to build a new stadium. So I think you got to not go with McElwain, because now you're talking $20 million in buyout. I think Scott Frost is a bad choice, even though he's from Wood River and he's got the Nebraska ties. He would be a first-time head coach. And what happened the last time? Well, we got close with Pelini, but he couldn't get over that hump. And Mark Ricks, he's been tossed in there as a candidate, but he's got more talent in Georgia. And what has he done with the Bulldogs? They're still acting there. So I think you got to go in another direction. What that direction is, great question. I have no idea. But I don't think those candidates should be considered.
All right, man. Thanks for the call to the show. Keep up the good work.
Will do. Thanks for the time, Doug.
Thanks, Dave. Dave joined us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, just hitting on 2 or 3 different points there. We always appreciate your calls, 888-455-3776. I want to go to the blowout losses. We'll take a break. We'll be back with emails. Jared Crick going to join us as well here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Had a couple of tackles in Houston's big win yesterday. Blowout losses, they're about 2 a year. Year 1, 2008, twice. Missouri, 52-17. Oklahoma, 62-28. If I remember right, both in the top 10. And at the time we played them, we're both ranked 4th in the country, 1 on the road. 2009, one blowout loss, 15th-ranked Texas Tech, 31-10. And that was a tough one for the Big Red that day. When they let a game get away, which they kind of quit doing, they were making all the comebacks usually the last handful of years. So one in 2009. 2010, blowout loss. Didn't have one. The problem was you had the embarrassing loss in the bowl game to Washington after you crushed him. You got the hose job that you suffered down at Texas A&M in the 9-6 Ben Cotton ball-pinching gate, if that's what you want to call it. I mean, that was a bad deal. And you blew a 17-0 lead to Oklahoma in the championship game. No blowout losses.
Yeah, at that time, the defense in that year was really holding people down. I don't know what the scores were. You got it there. But that's when the defense was playing well. Now, after this year, here comes our defense. I mean, it looks like then the defense has gotten worse after that year.
I mean, the momentum was really rolling coming out of 09 into 2010. You kind of thought you got jobbed by Texas in the championship game. You had won six of the other games. You housed Arizona in the Holiday Bowl. You come out, you win your first five the next year, including a big win up at Washington, the emergence of Taylor Martinez. And then you just can't beat Texas. You couldn't beat Texas when they came in and Nebraska was rated and they weren't. Texas clipped them again. 2011, you got blown out. This is the first year in the Big Ten. You get blown out at Wisconsin, and you get blown out at Michigan. Then in 2012, you lose a tight one at UCLA. You get blown out at Ohio State 63-38 after you had the lead early in the second quarter, and then you get housed by Wisconsin in the championship game. And then in 2013, you get thumped at home by UCLA, where once again you have a very good feeling going into halftime. UCLA had to score right before the half just to even make it a game, and you can't get anything done in the second half, 41-21. And then Iowa, when it becomes meaningless, pounds you in Lincoln. And that's, you turned it over five times against Michigan State. That's not a blowout loss. It was a 13-point game. Take a break. Be back with more after this, including Jared Crick, Jack Gangwish. It's the Doug and Daddy Show special day after firing edition here on ESPN Radio.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.